So this morning I want to pursue a theme that we have started in our morning Bible studies, and if you weren't a part of those, I think you have a pretty good idea of what today is about. Anybody know? It's about the resurrection, okay? So I think you could probably just walk in off the street and know that today is going to be about the resurrection, right? You may walk in on other days and be surprised, but today is certainly a day we're going to talk about the resurrection. So we're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If you have a Bible, you can turn there. That would be great. If you don't have a Bible, the text is in your bulletin. It's also on the wall today, so you can follow on along there for your convenience. And we'll be there in just a minute. But I want to share a thought with you today entitled The New You. Okay, The New You. And I want to start by asking a question, and we usually like to interact here, so feel comfortable speaking back. Have you ever felt like you needed to be new? Like there's something about your life that just needed a change? Okay, if you have a computer, and if you'll go online and you'll Google the phrase The New You, you'll find all kinds of helps for you, okay? So really, we could say amen and you can go home. Get online, Google the new you, and you'll find everything that you don't need. All right? Let me tell you some of the things that you'll find. And these aren't bad, but I just don't think these are going to bring about what you want. Initially, you're going to find things for sale. So there's going to be books, there's going to be magazines, there's going to be articles, and they're going to tell you and me, you and I, how we are to diet to get to the new you. Okay? So how many of us have been on a diet? All right, so most of us in this room understand that kind of stuff, right? The new you. You shed a few pounds, you bulk up a little bit, tone your physique, and voila. Right, presto, there's this new you. So all kinds of articles, books, magazines on how to create the new you through dieting or exercise. You're also going to find some pretty good coupons, okay? So you can go to a salon or you can go to a spa. And if you go to the salon, they said, we'll give you a new do. And well, for some of us, you can't really do a new do here, right? But they'll give you a new color. And if you go to the spa, they may give you this cream that they found in the middle of the jungle somewhere. It bubbles up out of a hole. It's anti-aging cream. Okay? So you show up at their facility. You soak yourself in this ointment. And supposedly, you come out this new, revitalized you. There's also some guys on there who have some knowledge. They have some experience in the area of really transforming your exterior. These kind of cosmetic surgeons. And so you can go to them and they're gonna create this new you. They know best how to lift, tuck, stretch, enlarge, reduce your way to a new you. Yay! That's all you got to do, right? They got coupons. They got all the things you need there, and you can walk out of all these places brand new. Matter of fact, there are people there who say this. Really, the new you is just stuck in the old you. And if you'll show up at our facility, we're going to mine out this new you. Because really, the best you is just, it's trapped within you. And so they're looking to better us. Now, all these things make a promise. You know what the promise is? These things will last you, guess how long? Forever. All right. Now, again, some of us are just stuck that way. But how many of you have a hairdo that you've had forever? All right. Other than those of us who are hair challenged, whatever you call it. All right. So none of us do that. Right. So your hairdo hasn't lasted you forever. What about your anti-aging cream? Has it lasted you forever? No. All right. So that kind of stuff doesn't last us forever. We've all said we've started diets. So I'm assuming somewhere along the way we have stopped those things. We've probably started and stopped exercising, started again, stopped again, all that kind of stuff. All these things promise to bring about a new you. And there's a real problem with this. So before you run out of here and latch on to the latest infomercial, you're well aware of this. These things will not fulfill that promise. Okay? These things simply will not fulfill the promise. So my body's going to give out. My mind is simply going to wear out. Ultimately, my hair is going to fall out. You're going to be a member of the club, okay? These things are going to fail us. They will not last forever. And so today, what I want to talk about is how we can become this new person, this new being that we've been created to become. You've been put here on planet Earth by God for the purpose of being made new. The pursuit is right. be made new. The problem is in the supplier. Okay? So the spa, the salon, my barber, the latest trend in dieting or exercise. Listen, there's nothing wrong with any of that stuff. Okay, I believe firmly in some of these things. It's important to diet, take care of your body. It's important to do things that are healthy, essential for you to maintain good health so that you can be a fully functioning person, that you can really give the Lord your best. I believe those things are God-honoring, but I believe godliness is much better than that. And so it's not that they rank equal. I think they're important, but I think godliness is way up here, is what Paul teaches. It's what God's Word says. So today what we're going to do is go to the Word and try to find how we can become this new you. So most of us in this room said, we've had the thought, I need to become new. There's something about me I need to change. Well, today we're going to see how God has intended for that to be. So if you have a Bible, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5, and what we're going to find here is Paul, he's writing this letter to some Corinthian believers, and he's trying to give them some help in this area of becoming new. All right, he's addressed them about this shell of a body, how it's going to die, it's going to fall apart one day, but there's something contained within that will remain forever, and he's talking about how we need to become new. All right, so we're going to see that, also the purpose that lies in being made new. So 2 Corinthians 5, we're going to go from verse 16 through the end of that chapter. It says, therefore, from now on, all right, he's just talked about the idea that I have died to myself. I no longer look at things through the eyes of flesh. I have this new spirit within me. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. For he, God, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And so it is today. I want to look at this idea of becoming new. All right, becoming new. There's not a person in this room who this message is not for, including me. All of us have been designed by God for the purpose of being recreated, for being made new. And so we're going to talk through that today. First thing I want to note is this. The new you is created by God, and it comes through faith in Jesus. So if you're following along in your bulletin there, there's a one under a heading. You can fill things in if that's the way your mind works. If not, you can leave it blank. But the new you is created by God through faith in Jesus. So here's what I want to do. I want to get clear about what we are talking about, and I also want to get clear about what I'm not talking about when we're talking about becoming new. First of all, the new you is not something that is inherited. So it's not wrapped up in your DNA. So I go to church, and I love God. Does that mean my kids who go to church are going to love God? No. I'm striving to honor the Lord with my life, to serve him with all the relationships that I have. Does that mean my children are going to grow up and do the same thing? No, and some of you know that all too well. It doesn't work that way. People show up at a building for years, and they sit in classes for years, and they go on trips that are part of churches, and when they get older, they go away because they feel it's irrelevant. They've just been blinded. They're missing the truth. The reality is we all need this faith in Jesus Christ. So it's not about inheritance. It doesn't start there. It's not about recreating ourselves. So that one website that says, show up at our facility, and we'll draw out the best of you, and you're going to walk out of here feeling great about yourself. You may walk out of there feeling good, but nothing eternal has happened. Nothing of real value has come to pass. So it's not about recreating ourselves. And something else here is this. God's not in the business of taking the old you and just cleaning it up. Okay? So the best you, the new you, is not a better version of the old you. It's brand new. It's totally opposite, totally distinct from the old you. And so how does this happen? Well, one of my study Bibles put it this way. It's about you and I not being reformed. It's about you and I not being rehabilitated. It's about you and I not being re-educated, but it's about us being recreated. Okay? So who is the recreator? God. God's the recreator because God is the creator. Okay? So he's the one who started this ball rolling, who gave us breath, who put us here, and he's the one also who will do the recreating. So fill in a word for me. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 18 says, all this is from whom? All this is from God. God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So it's important to note here initially how this comes about. Right? So it's from God and it's through faith in Jesus. So it's, again, I'm not trying to give you a self-help course today. Okay? Being a Christ follower is not about behavioral modification. It's not don't drink, don't smoke, don't cheat on your wife, whatever. Don't do drugs, show up at a building once a week and you get in. That's not how it works. It's not about modifying your behavior. And far too many people show up at a building and think that's what it's about. So I dress it up, I buy new clothes because it's Easter and I guess that's biblical. And I show up at a church and I sing songs about Jesus because that's got to be good. And yet there's nothing of value really going on within. So it's not about changing the exterior. It's got to go deeper than that. And so that's where we're starting. It's got to go to the heart. So I'm not trying to offer you a self-help course. All I'm saying is from God. John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. So yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, we're talking about Jesus, he gave the right to become children of God. Here we go, verse 13. Children born not of natural descent, children born nor of human decision or a husband's will, but children born of whom? God. So here again we see this idea of the Creator who is making us new. He is recreating you and I. There's a businessman by the name of Lindsey Clegg. Lindsey owns all sorts of property around the world. And he had this one property that had been sitting for a while. Maybe some of you can identify with this. Maybe you've had a vacant house for a while. What happens to a house that sits vacant for a while? You got neighborhood children around. You know, I hear they like to throw rocks and bust windows. I hear they like to go in and maybe tear up things inside, bust down doors, all that kind of stuff. I'm sure you've never participated in those things. But that's what tends to happen. That's what happened to this warehouse. And so he's got a potential buyer who comes to look at the warehouse. He says, listen, if you're going to buy this place, I'll take care of everything. I'll put new doors on it. I'll put new windows in it. If there's anything structurally wrong with it, we'll make that sound. All the trash, we're going to clean it out, and I'll bring it to you, and it will look brand new. And here's what the buyer says. He says, I want you to forget about all the repairs, because when I buy this place, I'm going to build something completely different. I don't want the building. I want the site. Okay, so when we're talking about being recreated, it's not about making this thing better. It's about demolishing the old and building something brand new. And all God is looking for from me and from you is permission to build. Okay? He's not going to create you against your will. So you walk out of here today and go, I just don't believe that, Corey. That's fine for you. God's not going to make you new. He's not going to recreate you against your will. But if you and I will pursue him, if we allow him in the ability to change us, he has. And he will bring about this brand new work. He will bring about the brand new work. I've just got to give him opportunity to build. So it starts with understanding that I am recreated by God. It continues through faith in Jesus. And let's look at that here in verse 17. Verse 17 reads, says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation, what is it? The new creation has come. If anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. So the idea of being in Christ is that I am united to him by faith. And so here's the picture, okay? I am a sinful person in need of this renovating work. I need the old to go away and I need the new to come. God is the recreator. And as I put my faith in his son Jesus, he will begin the building project. The new you is created by God through faith in Jesus. All right, here's the deal though. It doesn't just stop there, so let's progress. The new you, secondly, here, it's going to leave behind the old you. You ever had the old you left behind? Now, I like the song that Brandon Heath sings, which says, "I'm not who I was." Some of you have probably seen those cardboard testimonies before where people stand in front of a church and they hold up a sign, and on one side it says adulterer, and on the other side it says faithful. On one side it says drug addict for years, and on the other side it says clean or sober for X amount of days or months or years. All they're saying is, "I'm not who I was. The old has gone because the new has come." So there's not room for both of these people to coexist. That's not a party you want to attend. One will rule, and it will be the one that I lean into. And so when I'm talking about leaving behind the old you, what are we talking about? We're talking about leaving behind the old flesh, okay? Not your skin. It's not some, you know, crazy notion you're going to walk out of here skinless. It's the idea that God is going to take away these things that are old, and He's going to give you a desire, a want to, and the ability to live in ways that please and honor Him. And so how does that look? Well, first of all, the new is leaving behind all the pleasures and pursuits of the old life. Anybody got that story? I used to like to attend these type of meetings. I used to like to show up at these places. I used to like to spend my money on these things. I used to have this kind of temper. I used to hate people. Okay? The new me leaves behind the old me. And I can because I have the power of God within me. So it starts by leaving behind the pursuit and pleasure of the old, and in exchange, I'm finding pleasure in pursuing God. Man, there's nothing like living a God-honoring life. I've done some real dumb things in my life and enjoyed it for a moment, but I've regretted it forever. You want to sit and talk, I think my stories will match yours. Okay, I say often, if you knew me as Jesus knew me, you wouldn't want to know me. I'm nobody to know. Other than there is a renovation that has taken place within me, and I am not who I once was. I'm not the same guy. That's no credit to me. That's all credit to God. So it's about leaving behind the old and loving God and living for Him. The last thing I ever thought I would do is what I'm doing currently. I have a fear of standing in front of people. Honestly, I'm not comfortable with that. I have a greater fear in playing an instrument or singing. And you combine those two, and I am a basket case. Okay? So I pray, and I pray hard, and a lot of people here pray with me and pray hard. We're not great at anything, but this is where God has placed us for the time. This is what He's asking of us, and so we're going to give it all. All right? This is all Him, and so we just submit it to Him. Man, there's nothing I would rather be doing than what I'm standing here doing this morning. There's no greater privilege or honor than to be able to share God's Word. So when I'm new, I'm leaving behind those things of old, and I'm chasing the things that bring the greatest pleasure. The new also leaves behind these types of things. It's the ideas of how we're made right with God. So there's all kinds of theories out there about how somebody can get to heaven. What are some of them? How do we get to heaven? All right, so we need to be good. So do some good stuff, and that'll get you to heaven. Okay? That sounds pretty good. You've probably heard it before of the scale. And I want my good, I guess this would be my good to outweigh my bad. And so when God puts those things on the scale, it's going to tip this way, and the green light's going to come, the gate's going to open. And He says, "Get in here, good boy." Some people have that idea. Other ideas? How do we get in? How is it? All right, so it's about giving money. So I'm going to donate to charity, and I'm going to give to the church. Maybe people show up at years for churches and just put money in plates thinking God's, "Oh, man, they are fantastic. Wait till they get to heaven. Never be the same." All right? I'm laughing because that's dumb. All right? If that's your idea, I'm sorry. That's dumb. That's absurd. Some people think good works get you in. Sorry. That's not what the Bible teaches. Okay? There's one way that we get in, and that's through Jesus Christ. The only way that I'm accepted to God is what we've read here today. I'm reconciled to God through faith in Jesus Christ. Period. And He's the one who's doing the recreating. So I'm going to leave behind some of the old, and that includes some of these ideas where I think God loves me because I'm doing good, because I pray, because I show up at a church, because I give money, because I'm faithful to my wife, because I do good things in our community, because I have a good reputation. God's going, "No, no, 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 no. The one way in is only through faith in my Son, Jesus Christ." so it's not by my best efforts. The new you also leaves behind the old habits. Anybody left behind an old habit because of what Jesus has done within you? Anybody? This is who I used to be, what I used to do, but I don't do that any longer because of what God has done within me. Right? Some of you are nodding your head, yes, so you understand that. The old passions, the old dreams where you used to chase those things that were selfish. This is what I want out of life. This is the house I want to live in. This is the car I want to drive. This is the field that I want to own so I can hunt there. The pond I want to own so I can fish there. This is the boat I want to own so I can ski wherever. These are the clubs I want to own. The motorcycle. This is the motor home. You name it. We pursue what we want. And yet the new you has a passionate pursuit for things of God. Right? It leaves behind the old. So I'm happy with whatever I get because there's a much bigger purpose than just these little scraggly things I can get my hands on. The new you leaves behind habits, passions, pride, dreams, opinions, on and on we could go today. What I'm simply saying is that it leaves it behind as we're recreated. So let's go back to the text here, verse 14 and 15. So here we are as believers. He says, Christ's love compels us. So that's what drives him. It's no longer the passions. It's no longer the flesh longing for things of the world. Christ's love compels us because we're convinced that he died for all and therefore all died. Verse 15. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Okay? So those who now belong to Christ, those who are being recreated, that old is dying, and now I'm pursuing things that honor the Lord. So my delight is in him. You know what the Bible teaches? A relationship with God is more valuable than any amount of money on the planet. So Monday through Friday, what are you chasing most? If the Creator says this is what is most valuable, what are you chasing the most? What am I chasing the most? Is it the paycheck at the end of the week? Or is it the payday at the end of this life when I come face to face with God? Nothing more precious or valuable than a relationship with God. The new you delights in him. The new you begins to see the world differently. How long has it been, friend, since you went to the Bible and went, man, this is life for me. This is life for me. And apart from this, I would just rather die. How long has it been since you've been nourished, strengthened, hungered for God's Word? That new you longs for those things. So maybe you say, man, that's just not going on within me, and I feel like I've been new somewhere. Well, remember what I said earlier, there's still a battle, right? The old you is not, it's gone in the sense that the new you can rule the old you, but that old flesh is still there. And he still raises up. She still raises up. She still wants to rule. She still wants things her way. He still has plans with his life. And those two are constantly in battle. How long has it been since you hungered for the Word? The new you starts to see the world the way that God does. The new you also has a desire to praise him. So when you come in this morning, was that the delight of your soul? I just want to praise. I don't care how it comes out. We don't need a song to praise, right? I can praise in all sorts of ways. The new me delights in the Lord and desires to praise. So the old has gone. Thankfully, the new has come. And then third here this morning, lastly. So we're being recreated by God through faith in Jesus. We're going to leave behind the old, but there's still that tension. There's still that struggle there within us. But there's also a greater purpose now. Man, if you don't have Christ as your Savior, and if His Word is not your roadmap, then I just don't get what you're living for. I don't understand it. I was once there, but my life really didn't have true purpose. I didn't wake up each day and going, yes, this is what today is about, until I was renovated, until this new guy showed up. And so here's what happens. The new you is going to speak to others on behalf of Christ. You say, wait a minute, back it up. I'm okay with being changed on the inside. I'm okay him doing something in me. But he wants me to do something now? Yes, he does. He's blessed you and is asking you in return to be a blessing to others. So it's not just that I see the world differently. It's not just that I have a hunger for his Word. It's not only do I begin to see my role change, but now it's that I understand what it is that he's asking me to do. So here's the idea of current day culture. You watch TV, you listen to radio, you talk with friends. March 31st, 2013, the idea is that you and I need to keep our mouth closed when it is contrary to popular opinion. True? Or we're there, you just go down the list of names of what we are. The most polite, I guess, is we're a bunch of haters. But there's an idea in our culture that we need to be quiet. Now listen, I'm not suggesting today, nor am I challenging you, nor are we going to teach here. You need to go shove it in somebody's face. When does that work? Never. And that's not how Christ worked either. However, God has given all of us, and he's granted all of us, this great responsibility and privilege to be able to share. See, he calls you and I here a name. He calls you and I here a name. You know what it is? We are his ambassadors. You know what an ambassador does? An ambassador, they have their own mind, but they don't speak it. They have their own opinions on things, but they're not allowed to represent the king and speak their own opinions. Okay, when people leave the United States and they go represent our president in other parts of the world, what are they to say? Whatever he wants them to say, because they are representing him or us, our government. And so they ambassador what we believe. It's the same way here. As a Christian, you and I are to ambassador the message that we are hearing today. You and I have a great privilege, but also responsibility, friend, to carry the word. I don't really know of any greater news to share on the planet. I mean, good news starts with bad news, though, right? If there's no bad news, there's no good news. It's just news. So the bad news is everybody is a sinner. I mean, I'm all for equality. We're all equally sinful. Every one of us. We're all sinners. We all have a problem. And my sin has separated me from God. Okay? Your sin has separated you from God. And so what Paul is teaching here is that there is this beautiful reconciliation that takes place when we trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior. And that's the only way that it happens. And so I have an opportunity to share with people, you do as well if you're a Christian, how he has made me new. It's not just an opportunity, it's a responsibility. So listen, I know this isn't some, hey, happy day, he's resurrected, alive, let's walk out of here shouting. There's work to do. We'll celebrate in eternity. All right? But you and I today need to be, first of all, recreated. But secondly, we've got to be ambassadoring the message that it is that he's laid out before. So let's see it. Verse 19 and 20. God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. Okay, so what's the news? You're a sinner, but guess what? God's not going to hold you accountable for your sins. Well, that's good. How does that happen? Well, let's go on. He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. Here it is. We implore you on Christ's behalf. What is it? Be reconciled to God. So the beauty here today is not just that I'm recreated. The beauty today is that I have a partnership with God and helping others be recreated. I have this great privilege of being able to share. Now, it doesn't originate with me. It doesn't start with you either. I didn't come up with it. But the reality is I have experienced it, and therefore I love to share it. And that's what we're doing in part today. Sharing what it is that God has done for us. Sharing what it is that God is doing in us. And sharing what it is that God wants to do through us. If you've experienced the truth, you know what's happened. Verse 21 says, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. You see what happens there? There's a beautiful exchange when recreation takes place. God takes away my sinfulness, and in exchange, he gives me his holiness. And God says, I'm going to deal with this old guy by starting to suppress his drive, his nature, his pleasure. And in his place, I'm going to give you this brand new drive and purpose and pleasure and contentment in me. And the new guy, friend, when I always lean into him, he always rules, he always wins. And so therefore, I love to talk about it. Don't you like to talk about things that are new? All right, so I've got a 2000, what is it? I don't even, a Chrysler Town and Country. Let's talk about that van. We don't want to talk about that. I've got a pair of tennis shoes that are 14 years old. Let me tell you about them. We don't talk about that kind of stuff. Some of us got new clothes today. You know what we like to talk about? You know, ooh la la, and we stand in front of the mirror, and we've got a parade through the house, and because it's new, and it's exciting. You get a new car, and what do you want to do? You want somebody to see it, right? Let me show you my new car. Or you get a new house, and oh, come over and check out my new house. I just love it, and you're going to love it too. Or maybe you get a new job. You don't want to talk about your old job. You want to talk about what is new. Maybe you're in a new relationship. Oh, man, he just loved me so much, and she just completes me, and, you know, all that gooey stuff, and yay, it's so exciting. Just let me tell you about this new friend, this new relationship. Maybe you get a new dog, a new pet, or there's a new member of your family. Maybe I shouldn't put all those together that way. But the reality is we like to talk about stuff that's new, don't we? I don't really want to talk about the old stuff. You know what the great news of being new is? Being new never gets old. That's this whole message in a nutshell. There is an old you, and there is the new you, and they never mix. The new you is always new. It's new every morning, and the old you will then forever be old. There's no greater message to share than how somebody can be made new through Jesus Christ. And so that's what we're doing today. So I'm sorry I don't have any anti-aging cream for you this morning. Quite frankly, it wouldn't work anyway. I had thought about, we have some people that do hair, I thought about setting up a chair and bringing some people up and, you know, we could give you a makeover and you could go out of here the new you. But you'd get out here in the rain or whatever and it would all pass. We're not going to do that. I mean, the new physique, the buffest guy on the planet, somebody's still going to stand over him and pronounce his death. Right? So all that stuff that says it's going to last you forever, it just won't. What we're talking about today will. The new you which is found in Jesus Christ is eternal. It satisfies forever, completes deep within, and it will set your life on mission. And there's no better place to be than in that place of being.